on the Kitchen talks about food. Donald on the Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donald on the Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigo.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here at around our kitchen table to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. And we are here at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in the middle of Ames, Iowa, in the middle of the state, in the center of everything. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, if you don't like Iowa weather, evidently, stick around. We thought we had spring. The tulips and daffodils were starting to make a showing. And, boy, we got a little nip, didn't we, Donna? A little cold.
It sent me back scuttling into the house and not sitting on the porch any longer.
There you go. Well, don't put away your mittens just yet, but I think spring is coming. Well, here on the Donald in the Kitchen, we talk about food, of course, and there is a fine food event coming up. And joining us today at our kitchen table to talk about that event is Kara Miller and J.J. Goodwin. Kara Miller is the executive director of Silos and Smokestacks, and J.J. Goodwin is an explorer on the Iowa Gallivant and host and the voice of the Irish, of Iowa Irish in downtown Waterloo. And they are here to talk about the Iowa Eats and Drinks Festival, which is coming up April 6th in Waterloo. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Nice to see you and hear from you.
Good. So, tell us about this event, the Iowa Eats and Drinks Festival. Kara, do you want to start?
I would be happy to tell you. The Iowa Eats Food and Drink Festival was the first year, and it benefits Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area. We started it because we were looking for a way to raise some additional resources for our work of telling the American agriculture story. And we wanted to stay true to our mission. And so we thought, what better way than to gather together Iowa food and drink products? So this festival is all about Iowa food and drink. We have 65 vendors coming this year, and they are all telling a story of some sort of Iowa agriculture. So this event is a sampling and tasting event. So you don't come and you get a big meal like you would at a food truck festival or something. It's really just tasting all of these products from the Iowa farmers and the Iowa agriculture people. We also have other items that are not necessarily food and drink. Like we have a fellow who builds cutting boards from the felled trees on his property, 7 acres. They're beautiful. We have the brick kitchen who will be coming to share some of the equipment they have. But most of it is food and drink sharing. And the event is from 11 to 5 on Saturday, April 6th. People can purchase tickets in advance on our website, or if you live in the Waterloo Cedar Falls area, you can get tickets at Hy-Vee. But you can also just come to the door and come on in and enjoy the event and have some samplings and tastings and see tons of demonstrations. And we also have main stage speakers. And this year we're also having a firefighter cook-off contest. So we've got a lot of fun things going on. I would say the best way to find out more about the event is to visit our website at iowaeatsfestival.com. And if you click on the link at the top called lineup, you can go in and see all the main stage speakers, all the demonstrators, and including the vendors who will be there. So it's a great way to look at that and kind of plan your day and what you want to come and see and do.
So these are all products that are made in Iowa, right?
Yes, or Iowa business people too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're agriculture related, they're Iowa focused. We do encourage everybody to give some sort of sample and explain their product, where it came from. We have people like, this year we're including distilleries and spirits.
Oh.
So Century Farms, yeah.
Well, and so we're getting good at that in Iowa, I must say.
They are there. Century Farms Distillery, which is out of Spencer, Iowa, will be there. And they're also one of our main state speakers. So it's not just businesses around Waterloo. It's businesses from all over the state. The Beeler Pier Pork, which is out of Lamar's, mm-hmm. is one of the vendors. We have Country View Dairy. Farm Story Meats was a big hit last year. Everybody loved
they have great Steph pork. Yeah.
Cider.
Yeah.
They
have great pork, too. Farm Story Meats.
Yes.
And I saw you had Agricultured, the kimchi and pickle company from Des Moines, Sarah Unterberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know them?
We've had them on the radio years ago. I love their product.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They're also going to be doing a demonstration about using fermented foods.
Good.
So,
good.
You know, that'll be a nice thing. People can wander around to the booths and then come in and sit down and enjoy a demonstration and go back out and watch the firefighter cook off and then go get a sample from Century Farms.
Well, and Lana and I are doing a demonstration. Lana's doing the demonstration because she's our our resident pastry maker. So she's making a lard-based fruit tart.
Right.
And we'll be talking about using lard and, you know, all things lard, basically.
Yeah, we like to talk about food, and lard has been a subject that people have asked us about a lot. So there is it. There it is. Yeah, it's good. And it sounds like a wonderful thing. And it's so nice to know that, well, you know, 10, 20 years ago, Iowa was producing a lot of commodities, as in not directly to people.
Yeah, nothing you want to eat.
But now we can actually eat the stuff, and I'm excited about this. This is good. This is good. Oh, JJ, how are you involved in this?
Go ahead, JJ.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
Oh, yeah. Well, how are you involved in this festival?
So I'm happy to be emceeing this for the second year.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going all around the convention center, talking with people, introducing presenters, and I'm going to be, you know, basically buzzing around, gallivanting the festival like I was in my own world over here. So I'm also going to be one of the presenters, too, so I can't wait to do all this stuff.
So
JJ's presentation is called Eat Your Way Through the Heritage Area. So,
that's right.
Yeah, JJ has also been traveling around the Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area this year, visiting our different sites and eating in local restaurants and blogging about that on his site of the Iowa Gallivant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Explain what Iowa Gallivant is. I think that's a wonderful word. What does that entail?
So the gallivant is to kind of wander. It's kind of like it is to explore. It is to travel, and not in like a real like structured way. So, and that's just exactly how we travel. If you look at our logo, and it was my wife's idea. There's a paper airplane on there, and when she designed it, I said, "I like it, but what's the purpose of the paper airplane?" And she said, that's the way you travel. You have your target, but you're going to zigzag your way through everything and swirl around like a paper airplane. So it's exactly how I travel.
Good.
And this is a website, a podcast? How are you?
Yeah, website, social media. It's the iowagallivant.com.
Okay.
And it's also, you know, our social media. We got Facebook, we got TikTok, we got Instagram. So, yeah, we do a lot of great videos, especially around the Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area. So, yeah, we 110 sites, and we're spending 2 years trying to get to every single one of them.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
we
yes.
We also say JJ is a good Iowa eater, too, because
yes,
he travels around all these restaurants. And he's he's got a book out that talks about the sausages in Iowa. So, JJ, if you want to mention about the worst of Iowa.
Yes, that's right. So in the winter of 2017, we started a project called Iowa's Worst Road Trip, WURST, casing the state for the best sausage. So this kind of morphed into a book about some of our historic meat lockers and things like that. So it's an industry that's very important, and it always has been. We had over 400 lockers at the peak of the number of them in the 1970s, and now we're just north of 100. There's a lot of things that happen to get down to that number. It was, you know, especially with the farm crunch, was not easy on anybody, especially small towns and rural areas. And you know, so when Main Street kind of started to fizzle out in some towns and the population decreased, a lot of our lockers kind of fell by the wayside. But now we're in a renaissance period, and especially when COVID happened, people really figured out how important these places are, and they're making a comeback. There's even some newer lockers that have been opening up lately, which is a really good thing for Iowa.
Well, we've gotten
a few of those at the Iowa Eats Festival.
The USDA has brought on some funding to help facilitate that too. It's become obvious that we need that.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's a good thing that's been happening in Iowa, right?
It has.
That's right.
And that's part of the focus of what we're trying to do with the Iowa Eats Festival, is to really highlight some of those businesses and help them, you know, build a broader base of consumers and people who are interested in buying their products. So,
well, we talk on our
up to Waterloo and visit.
We talk on the Donald
right.
in the Kitchen a lot about, of course, how to access local food, and of course, meat is one of the big things that we produce here in Iowa. Pork being one. But aside from all the large pork processing plants and CAFOs and things like that, there are many farmers who still have some animal agriculture. And besides farmers markets, which we have in most towns in Iowa in the summer, local lockers are a place to access that, where you know, it's your local locker. They can kind of tell you where that piece of meat came from. And it might even be somebody you know. Yeah. So those are very important places to buy local foods.
That's correct. The revenue mileage goes a lot further when you buy from our local lockers, because you can literally shake the hand of the person who made the brats for you that you're helping keep employed. And the money stays in that town. The money is invested in that town. And it, like I said, keeps people employed. If you like to shop small, buy local, and know where your food is coming from, there is no better way to do all of that than our local lockers.
Oh, that's true with a lot of other products in Iowa too, like wineries and distilleries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's other places. Early Harvest Grains is one that will
early
be
morning
at
harvest.
Iowa.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Early Morning Harvest. I saw that you had spoken with Earl before, so they'll be there. And all of these places, as JJ says, it's great to put your money locally and buy these products. It's not only good for the economy and for those people, and to keep those businesses strong in Iowa and keep people in Iowa, it's good for our bodies and our health as well, to eat as close to home as we possibly can. We know that's always not possible for people, but if you can, it's great to do.
Yeah, and it helps keep the carbon footprint down too. So, you know, it's good for the environment when the more local you eat.
Good. So you're hoping that people attending will learn more about Iowa-made products and where to get them? Is that the...
Absolutely. Yes, that is our goal. As I said, our mission at Silos and Smokestacks is to tell and preserve the story of American agriculture. So we want to do that by helping people know and understand the agriculture businesses in our state, and to see them firsthand and experience them firsthand. Another one of the benefits of this event, and JJ had mentioned early on, that we have 110 partner sites with Silos and Smokestacks. Those partner sites help us tell the story of American agriculture. And several of our partner sites will be there as well, telling their stories, some historical stories about food, some current stories, and we'll have food and tastings there. So it's a great way to promote visiting our sites and seeing agriculture up close and firsthand, as well as promoting the businesses in our state.
Well, give us some examples of your sites.
Yeah, we've heard about Silos and Smokestacks, but are a little unsure of what exactly it is. And since you are the executive director, Kara, tell us what it does.
Well, let me tell you about the sites that are going to be at Iowa Eats, and that will kind of help explain kind of who we are. So Ackerman and Fireside Wineries is one of our partner sites, and they're out of Amana, and they'll be there.
Oh.
Cinnamon Ridge Farms, which is out of Donahoe. I don't think I say that right all the time. But they have a production farm with pork, and I think they have a lot of cows as well. And they will be there with sampling of their products. Eagles Landing Winery. The George Meyer Heritage Center is one of our sites, and they love to come and tell kind of the story of coffee and how it started. The Grout Museum, which is here in Waterloo, they have quite the extensive stories about the history of Waterloo industries, including Rathpacking and some John Deere stories, as well as the John Deere Museum is here in Waterloo as well. But the Grout tells some great stories. They also have video stories of farmers. Farmers can come in and sit down and tell their story and the history of their farm. And the public can come in and watch those videos. They're very educational. Hanson's Dairy is another one that will be there. They're a small organic dairy that's one of our sites that tells a different kind of story. The Hardin County Farm Museum will be there telling their story. And I must say, if you ever want to gallivant somewhere, the Hardin County Farm Museum has the best pancake breakfast ever.
Write that down, Donna.
Which direction is Hardin County?
Give us a general idea of where Hardin County is.
Well, you'll have to look that up.
All right.
The Matthias Ham House is also one that's coming. It's a historic site out of Dubuque, and then New Day Dairy is also one. But there's a variety of business or stories that get told in those that I just mentioned. And Silos and Smokestacks focuses on really six major themes when we partner with a site. They're about the fertile land. You know, what is there a story that tells about the great land in Iowa and how it became so fertile? The farmers and the families. The changing farm. We know there's a lot of changes that happen in agriculture over time, and understanding that is very helpful for folks. Higher yields, which is about the science and technology of agriculture. It is a very scientific and technology-related field these days, and has to be successful. From farm to factory, that's about agribusiness in Iowa. And then organizing for agriculture, that's about the policies and the politics. We know that a lot of small communities hundreds of years ago, you know, that community would gather everybody together and really work towards establishing good policies for farming in the future. So all of those things tell our story. And you can find all 110 of our sites by visiting the Silos and Smokestacks website, which is www.silosandsmokestacks.org. And that's all spelled out, one long word, Silos and Smokestacks.
And this is all over Iowa?
We are that's a very good question. Thank you for asking. We are a 37-county region that mainly is in northeast Iowa. Our borders start from the Iowa-Minnesota border, 35, Interstate 35, goes south to I-80, and from I-80 over east to the Iowa-Illinois border. Now, don't ask me why those are our borders. That was established by Congress 30 years ago now. And I tell people all the time, if we were going to change those borders, it would literally take an act of Congress.
Oh, my goodness.
So any county that is within those borders or touches those interstates is part of the heritage area.
Now, this is, if you mentioned it, it's a national concern. A heritage area is sort of like a national park, but not. Can you explain what it is? It sounds like a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we are not national parks in that we don't own land at all, and heritage areas are not owned by the government. Silos and Smokestacks is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we manage the national heritage area in our state. And that's true for all national heritage areas. They function with a local entity that manages and runs them. We are not owned or operated by the government. We do receive some federal funds, which I call the American People Help Fund National Heritage Areas, but we're not parks in that sense. So we run independently and separately from the federal government.
So you're really concerned a lot with history. Are you guys involved at all with the Living History Museum?
The Living History Farm is one of our sites.
Ah, so, okay, now it's making sense to me. Okay, now that I understand.
It's all circling around.
We have very large sites like the Living History Farm, the Mississippi, the National Mississippi River Museum, Seed Savers Exchange in Decorah.
But
then we also have some very small sites that are only run by volunteers. And we provide for all of these sites, we provide technical assistance, we provide support, we provide trainings, tourism promotions. We have a great visitor guide that goes out to people and is in all those sites. So we provide a lot of support efforts to all 110 of our sites. And like I say, JJ's been traveling around visiting several of those sites. So you may want to talk about some that you've really enjoyed seeing.
Absolutely. And when you notice that emblem, the Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area emblem, like that circular logo, when you notice that for the first time, you'll start seeing it more and more in your travels. It's like one of those things, like it's kind of like the FedEx logo. When you see that, when you notice the arrow in it, you can't unsee it. So when you are traveling, you won't believe how many times you've driven through an area and maybe not have known that that was one of the sites, but you're going to be picking up on them all throughout your travels in the northeast part of Iowa. And some of my favorite places, and like what Kara said, it's so true about our agriculture and the history. You know, obviously, we always bring up the history of our agriculture, but we're constantly pioneering. There's never been a moment in our agricultural history in Iowa where we're not pioneering. There's the original pioneers that came here who created communities and farms and things like that, but with the industry and how it changes from decade to decade, especially year from year, actually, they do a great job of showing us the technology and what's in the future of agriculture and how it kind of still coincides with the past a lot of times. And the John Deere Museum is one of the best in Iowa. It's not just the best tractor museum. It's one of the best, bar none, museums in Iowa. And if you ever, I call it museum hopping, there is not a better place in the state of Iowa to get spend a day or even a weekend museum hopping than the Cedar Valley when you go to Waterloo and Cedar Falls. There's museums everywhere, and they're in a concentrated area of those two metro areas, and that's where the heart and soul of Silos and Smokestacks is, and then it spreads out from there. Another one of my favorite places to go to is the Walter House. Over near Independence in Buchanan County. They were a couple that did quite well for themselves, and they farmed in the area, and they got Frank Lloyd Wright to come over and design their home. They could have literally moved anywhere in the world when they retired. And they did think about that, actually. They did think about going abroad, but they decided, you know what? We're going to write Frank Lloyd Wright a letter, and then what do you know that he became business partners? He designed a beautiful home. I mean, I'm serious. The setting is so peaceful. You get inside, and it's just, you can almost feel like it's like the Mrs. Walter is going to come over and offer like a beverage, and Mr. Walter is going to take you down to the boathouse, and you can have a cigar and play some poker with him or something like that. And one another great historic thing about that, it's right on the Winnebago River too, so the overlook of that is stunningly beautiful, especially in late spring when it starts to get really green. And the boathouse that they have there was the last boathouse Frank Lloyd Wright ever designed, and it's right here in Iowa in the Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area. But I love history. Obviously, I love food. The Amana Colonies is an easy destination to get the Silos and Smokestacks checked off your list and things like that. And the what we've also noticed are the restaurants that are in these communities where the sites are that really appreciate that we're promoting them using Silos and Smokestacks as a motor to do so. Because even though we concentrate on the agriculture and the history, but it is tourism too. And it brings travelers into Iowa, and Iowa travelers a lot of times rediscovering their own backyards, which is what it's all about.
Oh, it sounds great. Thanks. That's a really good synopsis. We're finding out about silos and smokestacks, and we'll come back after a short break to find out more about the Iowa Eats Food and Drinks Festival. This is KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about Iowa food and drink here. And as I mentioned before, there are so many more local producers and local things that people can actually eat and drink. And we're talking about that today with Kara Miller and J.J. Goodvin with the Silos and Smokestacks. But there is an event that they're talking about that's going to happen in Waterloo, Iowa, April 6th. It's called
A Lot of Food.
Oh, yeah, food.
A lot of local food.
Iowa Eats Food and Drinks Festival. It's a good thing.
And yeah. Lana and I will be there making a fruit tart with lard, with Iowa lard.
Right. Well, the lard doesn't go with the food. It goes with the crust.
Yes, it goes in the crust. Well, we'll be talking about cooking with lard and, of course, the historical aspects of lard. And there is a lot of interesting trivia there. We'll be going on about lard at the food festival on April 6th in Waterloo.
Yeah, which is, yeah, very good. Well, Kara and JJ, people are finding out more about food, finding out where they can buy things. Do you have people ask you about cooking? Is cooking kind of coming back into fashion, or are more people eating out? Do you have any insight into that?
Cooking is definitely back, and that really is a result of the pandemic. When we all had to be holed up, you know, and couldn't go out, many of us started figuring out, right, you know, what are we going to cook? I decided I was perfecting biscuits. So other people, you know, had different things that they were deciding to cook. And that actually played into why we decided to do the Iowa Eats Festival, because we knew that there was really a lot of even younger people who were really embracing or re-embracing cooking at home. And they're very interested in learning new skills and techniques and, you know, different things like what the Beeler pork that's coming, and we'll do a demonstration on how to take a bigger piece of pork and cut it up to be able to use at home. We have folks, well, Beth Hoffman that you mentioned earlier, and John will be doing that as well with the chicken. How do you take a whole chicken and slice it up and, you know, use it? And those are the kind of skills that people really want to know and want to learn some techniques. Our goal is our hope is that people will come to this event, you know, find something that they like, that they're tasting, but purchase it, then go to a demonstration, learn a new skill, and go home and put it all together and try it. So that's what we hope.
That's what my daughter's going to do. She can't wait to go to the lard the presentation. Like last year, she did the sourdough one, and she's been making sourdough ever since. She actually has her own starter that she's kept alive for almost a year now.
Good job.
Yeah, I know. And the lard one, too, is like that gets back to like these local lockers. If you go to Dayton's Meat Products in Malcolm, which is directly off of I-80, I know you've probably passed it million times when you're going back and forth on I-80. It's near Grinnell in Pouchy County. And they are very well known for their pies. They make them from scratch. And what's one thing a locker has a lot of?
Lard.
So obviously their pie crusts are second to none. Yeah. And to this day, even though it's not the most popular pie nationally, their biggest seller is mincemeat. It is an old German recipe they use that literally purchased with the locker. It was like, it was either you can have the locker, you can have the recipe, but you've got to, it was like, this is the price for the locker, and this is the price for the recipe. So, it was, they kind of threw that into it. But they will always, their mincemeat is really good, and it's one of those heritage pies, as I like to say, heritage foods. That I think a lot of folks would enjoy if they can just get past the name of it.
Did they make
one of our vendors, the pie lady, will be one of our vendors. So you'll hopefully have a chance to have some good pie at the event as well.
Is the mincemeat?
I'd be remiss if I...
Is the mincemeat only seasonal, or do they have it year-round?
No, all year-round.
Oh, my.
Good. Okay. Go ahead, Karen.
I was going to say, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our partners for this event. So the Iowa Corn Growers is our premier partner. And then we have Hy-Vee, Farmer State Bank, JSA Development, which is a company here in Waterloo, are all grade A partners for us as well. And KWWL-TV is a media partner. And you might have seen those who can watch TV in that area might have seen some of our commercials. And then, of course, the Iowa Pork Producers. And the Iowa Pork Producers are providing the meat for the firefighter cook-off this year. So all the firefighters are making some sort of Iowa pork chop for their contest.
How many firefighters are cooking?
We've got four.
Oh, boy.
This will be fun. It's always fun. It's fun to watch people cook because...
Yeah.
I grew up, well, most of us grew up, a lot of us grew up kind of ignoring what our moms and maybe dads were doing in the kitchen. And then
and
all
everywhere.
Of, yeah. And all of a sudden you want to know how to do this stuff. And there are a lot of good cooking shows and you can see things on YouTube and you can see things on Facebook, but there's something about standing next to somebody and watching them do it. Then you can feel and taste and ask questions.
And smell and taste. That's the important part.
Yeah. And ask the question that comes to mind.
Oh, very good.
What's going on with that? So,
what a good
idea. That's exactly what my daughter did, too.
Yeah.
Very good.
Our MC for the firefighter cook-off is George Famaro, who owns several restaurants in Des Moines. He's quite a successful restaurateur.
Yes, he's a big deal.
And so he is our MC for that event, and we have three judges that will be involved as well. But George will also be is one of our main stage presenters near the end of the day, and he's going to talk about the secrets of a successful restaurant. So anybody who's interested and thinking about starting a restaurant needs to come and hear what George has to say.
It always sounds like a lot of work.
That's a really interesting one because I worked in restaurants for over 20 years and things like that. And I strongly encourage anybody who ever wants to open a restaurant to first work in a restaurant, see if you like it, and go to this event in Waterloo and get a taste of how to open it. Because that's even though I've worked in restaurants, that's one I really want to pop into and get to hear what they have to say because it's extremely important.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. JJ, you mentioned mincemeat as a favorite Iowa taste. Do you have another favorite Iowa taste? I know things can be seasonal, but what do you look forward to every year?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so I tell folks one of my favorite sandwiches is like when you go to the Amanda's and you get that real soft German bread and you put the butter on, like especially like the pumpernickel one, you put the butter on there and then you put that Amanda cottage cheese, which is like, I can't even explain it to some people that have never had it. There's just something magical about it. And you put that on the bread and then you put the diced pickled ham on there with the pickled onions in it. And then you fold it in half and you eat it like that. That's one of my best flavors. Oh my gosh. The flavors of that. That's like when I lived outside of Iowa, because I lived in like six or seven different states, I would crave that. And there's nowhere to get it other than where, like in the Amanas and things like that. But I also talk about, like, there's a place called Obie's in Maquoketa, which is within Jackson County in Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area. They have perfected what I call the Iowa style taco, and it is a thing. The Iowa style taco is not everywhere, obviously. It's when you take a flour tortilla and you fry it and you kind of make a canoe out of it, basically. And you pile in like your favorite meat in there, usually nicely seasoned, pebbly ground beef and the salsas and the tomatoes and the lettuce. And it's just one of those tacos you don't get all over the country. And I've personally only seen it on a mass level in the state of Iowa. You need it all, and like when I explain it to people, it's kind of like, imagine being able to take a taco salad and fold it in half and eat it in your hand.
That's it sounds how I kind of it. Like a made right sandwich.
The two things you just mentioned, JJ, are both going to be at iWeeds. Amana Beef Farms will be there. And then we have a new one this year, JJ Smash Burgers and Tacos, and they're going to be selling their tacos.
There you go. And, like, so. You know, like, also Des Moines is within the Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area. And, you know, I talk about Graziano's sausage. I've been all over the East Coast. I've been all over the country. And people sometimes look at me puzzled. I say the best Italian sausage in the state of Iowa comes from Des Moines. And they think it's not possible. And I tell folks, why in Iowa can't we have the best of something? So when you think we have the best of something, you make sure to say that. Because if you live down in Texas, you're going to hear it all the time. They got the best of everything. Whereas, like, they're a little bit more humbled up here. But, you know, and a lot of folks have never heard of an Italian beef, Italian sausage patty sandwich. And I get it. I see it a lot in our seasonal ice cream shops. But there are places that serve it year-round. And that's a very Iowa-centric thing, too. Even in Chicago, people are like, why don't we have those things? That sounds awesome, you know? So there's, like it's not just the hog, corn, and soybeans and eggs around here, that we're also creating some of the best, most memorable, iconic meals you can get. You know, taco pizza had its start here in Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that people just don't think about until they get out of state and they're like, oh, that's not everywhere.
See? It's so nice to have so much to celebrate. It's so nice to have so much to celebrate. That's great. Tell us again about where this event is and how we can find out more about it. The Silos and Smokestacks sounds like it's doing a wonderful thing. And I'm all for food. I'm all for Iowa food. And Donna and I will be there. So, Kara, tell us more about this event. Repeat about this event and tell us how you can find out more.
Okay. It's the Iowa Eats Food and Drink Festival. You can visit the website at iowaeatsfestival.com. And again, like I say, click on lineup and you can see all that's going to be there. You can also click on the icon for tickets and you can purchase tickets online. You can also purchase tickets at Hy-Vee's in the Cedar Valley and Cedar Falls, Waterloo, and Waverly. And you can always purchase them at the door. And the door is at the Waterloo Convention Center in Waterloo, Iowa. We'll be here from 11 to 5. And we do encourage people to bring a little extra money with them because they're going to taste something that they like and they're going to want to buy it. All the vendors have things for sale that you can purchase and take home with you. So it'll be a great day here in Waterloo. It's fun to come and, you know, have those samples and see those things. And then we've got some great local restaurants literally across the street from the convention center where people can go and get a full meal and they'll be featuring Iowa foods as well. So it'll be a fun day here in Waterloo on Saturday, April 6th.
Oh, thank you for sharing. Good.
One of those restaurants is up for best burger in the state of Iowa.
Oh, that's right. So,
is that Big Head Burger?
Big Head Burger. They made it to the top 10. So that you can get one of the top 10 most popular burgers in the state of Iowa when you go to the convention center for the Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area's Iowa Eats Festival. So, like Kara said, you can support local all over again when you step outside the convention center.
Oh, well, thank you for being with us today. We've got lots to celebrate. And, Donna, I'm going to take my appetite. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you there on the 6th of April.
We've been talking to Kara Miller and J.J. Goodwin. Thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
It was fun. What do you think, JP? Did you have fun?
It was good. This is KHOI Community Radio, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Tasty radio for the heart of Iowa, and you can find out more about this radio station and about the Donna Lana Kitchen at www.khoifm.org. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Isn't it amazing? We have this wonderful gift of taste that we can enjoy things. And Donna, you found something that we probably think we know all about this vegetable, but it has a resurgence. Tell us what you found.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, in the culinary seasonal food calendar, we are at the bleak end of a long winter season, and the spring things have not yet come in, and what's a poor girl to eat during this time? You know, the radishes aren't even up, the asparagus isn't even thinking yet. So there was an article in the New York Times about a week ago. The headline was, "The coolest menu item at the moment is ... cabbage." I'm thinking, yeah, okay, because I've been eating a lot of cabbage. It's what, you know, it's available right now. And it said, "This stolid supporting player has slowly risen to a starring role in creative restaurants across the country." And then it goes on to talk about cabbage has spent an eternity as the workhouse of the stir fry, the braise, the quiet companion to endless duck legs and pulled pork sandwiches. It never complained, even when boiled with corned beef or shoved into a crock for months. So that, and that's of course like kimchi and sauerkraut. All these are all old things that your heritage is. Your grandparents probably had cabbage in their history.
Oh, I just had some good corned beef and cabbage. Yeah, some lucky duck for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. It says, "But today, a vegetable that can make your house smell like a 19th century tenement is the darling of the culinary crowd." Now, what they're talking about, I mean, you know, there's the big round cabbages that come in red or green that every supermarket has. And, you know, it has a lot of good qualities. It is very versatile. It's very inexpensive. It's nutritious. It's not fattening, of course, depending on what you do with it. But it's a good vegetable, and it's an overlooked vegetable. I mean, people probably think of coleslaw and maybe sauerkraut, and that's the end of it. A couple of years ago, I was reading one of my new favorite cookbooks was called The Modern Larder, and she has four whole pages devoted to caramelized cabbage for many occasions. And this is a simple thing, and she talks about the many, many ways you can use it. So here's how I do it. You want a sheet pan. You want to cut the cabbage. You know, cabbage has a core. Now, the core can be the most chewy part. For some things, you kind of cut the core out and discard it. But for caramelizing cabbage, what you want are slices of thick slices. I mean, you know, like between around an inch and a half or something. And you leave the core in the cabbage so that all the little bits hold together. So you end up with a piece. And you basically, what you're doing is in a high temperature oven for about 25 minutes, you blasting this cabbage that is coated in oil. Now, one of the things I like to do
is, for example, if we're having bacon for breakfast, I often cook my bacon, this is kind of restaurant style, on a sheet pan in the oven. You just spread it on the pan and let it cook there. And then one of the reasons I do that is because you don't end up with bacon grease all over your stovetop. But what you do end up with is, you know, you use the bacon for whatever you want to use it for, but you have a sheet pan with bacon grease on it. Not to be scrubbed away down the sink all
see,
the time.
See, some people would consider that a problem, but Donna said, aha!
Well, you know, braising cabbage, you do need oil. Now, you could use olive oil, you could use, you know, canola oil, you could use, I mean, some of the recipes where they stuffed the cabbage leaves with andouille, which is a very highly ground, seasoned pork fat that you can buy. La Quercia makes it into, you can buy it almost all over the state. It's a lovely, salty product. But the point is to have oil, salt, and cabbage roasted at a high temperature for about 25 minutes. And you don't put, you leave space between the pieces of cauliflower, just a little, because you don't want to steam it. You really want to roast it. Now, once you've got this roasted, caramelized cabbage, you can do all kinds of things. And in the recipe book that I was talking about, she suggests, and I highly recommend this, make extra. Like make two sheet pans full if you want or something like that. Because it's really good. You just eat what you want and then store the rest in the refrigerator. Because the next day when you want to make something and you don't feel like cooking, there is this yummy, already prepared vegetable that you can do all kinds of things with. I mean, you know, just drizzle it. I suppose you could even eat it cold, but you could warm it up. Just drizzle it with a little lemon juice or something like that, or put it in a sandwich, or put it with some mashed potatoes. It's roasted cabbage is delicious and useful and kind of clever this time of year. Now, there are other kinds of cabbages. I haven't, of course, Napa is in the supermarkets right now. Now, you can't really cut that up, and you could probably roast it in rounds, I would think, if you kept them thick enough and got them to stick together. I've been just putting, for salads this time of year, you know, if you have ubiquitous romaine leaves, but I've also been cutting Napa cabbage into it, you know, things to liven up your life here. So the popular cabbage that's been talked about in the New York Times is this little cone-headed pointy one. I know I saw some at the farmers markets last year. We used to call it Wakefield cabbage. Now they're calling it Caraflex cabbage. But it's more tender than the big, fat, round, you know, practically basketball-sized pieces. Not quite. I'm exaggerating. But so if you see this in the markets or anywhere, grab some and play around with it. It's more tender. You can use it in all of the places you would the normal cabbage too. I'm sure you could even make kimchi out of it if you wanted to. But it's also in seed catalogs in case you're thinking of growing it. It's sometimes called conehead or arrowhead, Wakefield or Caraflex. All right. And I'm sure your grandmother could tell you that cabbage is good for you somehow. There are some, I've forgotten what all, it has some unusual, because it's a cruciferous vegetable. So it's right up there with, you know, broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts, and all of those things. So it's a good season for cabbage now. Go out and have some at it.
Well, I'm glad the New York Times
is endorsing cabbage.
Endorsing. I mean, it's kind of, let's deal with this really good vegetable. I do like cabbage. It's good. And I tend to grow some, too, because if you grow them, they last for a long time after you've harvested them.
Have you grown any of the little pointy ones?
I haven't. I should do that this year. I never grow many because cabbage goes a long way, and I thought, well, that's what I need, another kind of...
Five bushels of cabbage.
Yeah. there is a kind that is called Savoy cabbage, which is a round-headed cabbage, but the leaves are crinkly.
Yeah, and very pretty.
And I always go for pretty. I try to grow that. That's a good one. That's a good
one.
Yeah,
and you can do the same sorts of things with it. I mean, cabbage is cabbage.
And we are all the better for it. Yes, we are. Well, caramelizing cabbage, a good idea. I'm going to share a poem here with you. I happen to be, well, my husband is related to a nice woman, his cousin, actually, who a couple years ago was named as the Poet Laureate of Wyoming. Her name is A. Rose Hill. We call her Rose. Cousin Rose Hill. And she's been involved in writing things and writers' cooperatives and writers' groups out in Wyoming for a while. And she just published a book called Butterflies and Marigolds, a Poetic Memoir, which is lovely.
Cousin Rose must be in her late 80s or 90s.
She's got
a lot to reflect on.
And what's nice is that these poems all kind of tell the story of her growing up and also her life in Wyoming. She started out in Missouri, but her father took the family to Wyoming. So lots of things going on there. Here's some... a poem by Rose Hill called Cornbread Memories. Before my mother could bake anything, she'd say, "Girls, I need some corn cobs." And away we ran to the barnyard where the pigs chomped corn, left clean corn cobs for good kindling, the kindling in the fire in her kitchen range. Next, she handed me a pail. "Go gather the eggs." While she mixed the flour, cornmeal, eggs, buttermilk, in her pan with a gob of bacon grease heated in the oven, while she poured the batter into the pan, it frizzled around the edges, and its fragrance filled the kitchen. A slab of home-cured ham, a slice of vine-ripened tomatoes, on the side, home-churned butter with sorghum molasses. For the hot cornbread, a feast. "Dinner's ready," Mom called. A poem. Well,
that's some historical eating right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of little poems like that. Things, how she grew up, and we all should know how to make a good cornbread. Yes, we should. Oh, I want to mention some upcoming events here. Right here at KHOI, at the studio, there's a poetry event. Thursday, March 28th, featuring Jennifer Knox and Paul Brook, 7 o'clock, Thursday, March 28th.
Oh, Jennifer Knox, Salt Liquors.
Salt Liquors. She makes a fine writer.
Iowa product of salt and flavorings. We've had her on. She's hilarious.
Good. And Saturday, March 23rd, there's the Central Iowa Barn Dance. To find out more on their Facebook page, Central Iowa Barn Dance. And, let's see, next Monday, again, here in KHOI Studios, in Studio C, the band Urala will be playing. It's a band with an Australian-tinged flavor to it. It has a storyteller, fiddler, and concertina player, Barry McDonald. He has lots to say and a lot of good tunes to share. That's Monday, March 25th, 7 p.m., the band Urala. And, Donna, tell them about our podcast.
Yes, so the radio show is also a podcast. So we are live today on Tuesday, and then by Thursday it's released as a podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just go in for the Donna Lana Kitchen. And remember, Donna Lana is one word, D-O-N-N-A-L-O-N-N-A, second word, kitchen. And there you will find us.
Good job, Donna. Yes. If you just can't get enough of the Donna Lana Kitchen. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We come to you live at noon here on KHOI Community Radio. We're also repeated Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Support this fine community radio station. We had music today by the Barn Owl Band. We heard Texas Gals, and we'll go out with the tune Mandalude. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We'd have Excellent Engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.